Grace to you and peace. I've told a number of you that one of the deep privileges of doing what I do is getting to know you and your stories. I've shared that mostly in the context of when you come forward for communion, I'm giddy almost always because I get to give you that gift and I know you and I know how unworthy we all are and I get to say Jesus loves you. And it's such a cool thing to say, sinners. It's the cool thing to say. But I think of this room, and I think of who we are here. And I think we've got folks who in the world of athletics have been college stars and are acclaimed high school recruits. We've got people who found passion in amateur sports and achieved levels that you probably would not understand, wouldn't know are sitting here next to you. We have people who have been contractors for the government and worked at the Pentagon. We have people who can't tell you what they did. We do, right here at Spirit of Joy. We have people who've traveled abroad and who've lived abroad, who were not born in these United States and who have chosen to live here. We have people who come from every walk of life. Two of the very first women ever ordained Lutheran pastors in our country are sitting in the second and third rows of our congregation. It is a cool place to know the stories of all the people who are here. But I have to admit, as great as your stories are and as cool as you are, none of them are as good as my buddy Tom. Tom was an Air Force enlisted man, career. And he did all sorts of fun things. Served in Vietnam, taught officer etiquette at K-Town, ran the survival school in Washington State, and flew on the presidential wing. That's Air Force One, right? You know that one. Well, it is when the president's on it. Otherwise, it's just one of the 747s in the presidential fleet. Did you know, by the way, I didn't know this until just this week, there aren't just the two planes that we think of as the big 747s. There are now 16 jets in the presidential fleet. I had no idea. 170 people make that wing run for the Speaker of the House and for all of the other officials in our U.S. government. Tom flew on this plane when the names were Nixon and Kissinger. And he spent 6 really wonderful years, the years that he looked to and pointed to as the most interesting of his life, and the years that really transformed who he was. He's in there, along with all of those retired folks who flew along with him. As he told the story, part of what resonated with me and that I think I'll never forget is how he talked about he'd been in the Air Force by the time that he was chosen to do this for 15 years. He had climbed the enlisted ranks and had done all sorts of things all over the world when he applied to be a steward. Everybody who flies is an officer or an enlisted person who clears and who then wants to be a part of this team. And he said, at first it was just a job. And I wanted to do my job well, as I've always wanted to do my job well. But he said, but then, especially as I got to know Mr. Kissinger, and that was his one that he always talked about, he said, something changed. And he said, over time, I became obsessed with my job. I'd wake up in the middle of the night and think of a new recipe or something to try to serve to the people who were flying with me. He said, I'd set my alarm so that I would be there way early and there would be no hiccups because I wanted everything to run so very smoothly. He said, I started to take notes in a little book and I'd write code names of all the people that flew with me and the things they liked, the little nuances of who they were and how they came on to those planes. Kissinger liked to fly with his shoes off. Little detail there. He also liked to be served his meal immediately after he had been seated and taken his shoes off. And Tom knew that. And he would be there with him, ready with his steak. He also then started to shape his everyday. He knew that if he went to the same grocery store over and over in the DC area, it was entirely likely that somebody who shouldn't know would know what he was doing. And so he started to shop around the larger metro, going to different stores, picking up things, identifying places for the best ingredients, but also making sure that by routine he wasn't endangering somebody's life. It became who he was, 24/7 for 6 years. This week, as I sat with Dr. Richard Swanson at our text study, I suddenly found myself thinking about Tom. We were looking at these two words, and Pastor Paul and I had caught them with men's breakfast. It's a little interesting tweak. It's the same word, apiso, for follow, that Jesus uses there, and it just means come with me, right? Let's go together, like we say all the time. But the second time that it gets used in verse 20, the first time is Jesus saying, follow me. Let's come walk with me. Let's get to know each other. The second time, there's a modifier there. And it is, they have followed him. And it means that they have put away what it was that they were doing. They've left, abandoned everything. In this case, their dad. And the nets, and the seaside, and everything else. And they now are committed entirely to this new way of being obsessed. For 3 years, walking with their teacher, anticipating everything, learning from him, taking notes every waking hour, right? And it occurs to me that as we talk about baptism and who it is that we are together as Spirit of Joy, that that's the move that we're asked to make. We're asked to make the move from saying yes to Jesus. Yeah, I'm a Christian, and that's all well and good. I even go to church every once in a while. To making the move of living the life of a disciple. That move where we wake up thinking about Jesus, the gift that he has given to us. That move where we give time, where we might be doing something else to that, where we go out of our way so that we might be community together, figuring out how to live these values that we share and become, each and every one of us, every day, a little more like him who we follow. Tom was doing well in his career. He had grown, climbed rank, and was highly thought of. But for him, that opportunity was transformative, life-changing. And he experienced something new in those 6 years that changed who he was forever. You and I, in the waters of holy baptism, have been changed forever. Forever. And our call, as we live into that, is to figure out how being named and claimed as people of God to this same mission that we all share. Remember John the Baptist's finger, to point to Jesus. How we do that? By following him with our whole selves, leaving that which gets in the way behind and setting out anew, immediately, for all time. Amen.